This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 22nd pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, March 31st here at Gillette Stadium. Final day of March. We're getting closer and
closer
to the draft. Almost here, right around the corner. Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino, and Paul Perillo with you for another draft podcast.
Where we...
Preview. There you go. You think after all this
Mikey
time...
Mikey V says it so much better.
No, he really
doesn't.
The
first week, Eric really came through. I mean, he was right. You were right on it the first week. I think you get all
nervous when
Andy's here. You get nervous. You're worried about what you're going to say.
No, it's
you think he's going to make fun of you. And listen, you get flustered.
No, I'm going to make fun.
I know. I'm expecting that.
But... I mean, if we all worried about Andy making fun of us, nobody would say anything or do anything.
It's true.
Point. So this week, the offensive line is on tap. I know that you guys are very high on some of these tackles in particular. You guys were talking about during the course of this week, there were a couple of guys that you both liked. But before we get into some of those specific players, I was interested in your thoughts as to where you think offensive line fits for the Patriots in this draft. What areas? In 12 picks, a lot early, a lot late, not so many in between. Where do you think the Patriots' emphasis on the offensive line will fall in this draft?
I could see
a
second-round pick.
Early. See, I'll be disappointed. I don't think they need it.
Because there are three of them, like last year.
They return all five of their starters. They return all of their backups.
Last year they had four.
So I just don't see the need. I know some people are of the belief that there could, if they see value at 22, that they could delve in. I just don't see it. If that's the case, if you're unhappy with the short or long-term nature of your line, then I think you've mismanaged it because you've re-signed them all. You've drafted some guys to develop. You kind of have all the pieces in place for at least a couple of years now by re-signing guys like Neal. So I just don't see the need. I'm okay if we want to add some guys in the sixth round to the development program as they've done over the years. Sure, you got 12 picks. You can get every position if you want at some point. But I don't see the need for anything in the first two rounds in those, the 4 and 53. I don't see the need.
Well, I agree there's not really a pressing need, but there's some talent there after you get past the first round that I think might be worth looking into if given that they have three picks. I think it's an option that they shouldn't rule out just because
I'd rule it out.
They have other things
to do. I don't want a talented backup guard standing on the sideline while I can't fill a void at wide receiver, tight end, edge rusher.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
DN,
I think there's enough
spots.
Talent that pick might not necessarily be a backup. I think he might challenge, given Stephen Neal re-signed for a couple of years, but he's injury prone, and you might need a guy who can be able to step in there and start for, half a season like Sebastian Vollmer did at tackle last year.
I'll call it mismanagement again if that's the case.
Yeah, I tend to fall on Andy's side with this, and the reason I do First of all, I think that the point about you've invested in your offensive line, that's the reason why I don't think that they'll go early, and I think it's disappointing if they do for that reason. I also would say, and this is probably maybe a topic for PFW in progress where we can delve into it a little bit greater, I don't see the Patriots having this history of, well, if someone falls in their lap at 22, the value is just going to be too great, doesn't matter what position. I don't think that their draft history supports that theory.
Right.
I think their draft history is the guy that they need with the highest value at that particular spot.
Right.
When you had a guy like Vince Wilfork, everybody said, well, they had just drafted defensive linemen two of the previous 3 years in the first round. Well, they still needed a nose tackle. So that was a need pick as well. I mean, Ty Warren, I think, was the ultimate need pick. They got run all over in 2002. They needed a defensive lineman. And they went out. He was like the fourth or fifth defensive lineman taken in the top 13.
Mm.
So clearly they were all about defensive line. I don't think that the whole they don't draft for need thing, I don't think that's really accurate. But again, that's probably a topic for more detail on PFW in progress. Why don't we start with the tackles, guys? You were at the combine. You've watched a lot of tape on these guys already.
Who
stands out? Let's attack it from the top, not necessarily the top tackle that's going to get selected, but if the Patriots were to maybe target a guy in the second round, who were some of the guys that caught your eye that you think would be attractive?
Second round, I would say Charles Brown, not Charlie, out of USC, I think, is a guy that's kind of slated to go in that area. And I think he's a talented guy, former tight end, so he kind of fits the mold of the Belichick tackle as the athletic. You know, we've seen enough of these guys that are former tight ends or have that type of build in the zone blocking scheme, can get out on those impossible blocks on the edge, out on the wide receiver screens. I think he's a guy who could probably do that. Just in general, I would say, in my opinion, he's not that far from the top. I was not overly impressed. The two guys near the top are Russell Okung out of Oklahoma State and Trent Williams out of Oklahoma. I really didn't like Okung. I don't think he's a very good player. I think he's slow. I think he's a right tackle.
Yeah, I
don't think
there's value.
I think Trent Williams is good, not great. I wasn't wowed by him. Mm-hmm.
Plotter.
So I really think even if you're going for one, I don't think you need to go that high if you're a team like the Patriots. There will be some value at the tackle spot in the second, maybe third round.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. Compared to last year, I think this tackle crop is less impressive, but there are a few gems in there. I think Bruce Campbell of Maryland showed that he's fast, strong. He has all the measurables. He's probably going to be a first-round pick, but you asked about second-rounders. I liked Selvish Capers out of West Virginia. It looks like he's more of a right tackle, but
yeah,
I think he was, for given the competition in this group, I think he held his own. I also kind of like, he might be a little bit later on, but I liked Jason Fox out of Miami, too. A little bit of a hustler, solid all-around player.
Him. I'm a big fan of, he started 47 games at Miami. That means a little something to me. I know they're not what they once were, but if you're an athlete who goes to Miami and then starts for basically 4 years,
sure,
tells me you're a guy I wouldn't mind developing.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, what is I'm just looking at the NFL Draft Scout rankings here, and I see that Fox has a medical symbol next to his name.
Knee injury.
What's his issue? Knee problem?
Yeah.
So, but that's not anything chronic or anything? He just ended the year with a knee injury or something?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I know he has a knee injury. That's, you know, part of the analysis with him.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Okay, maybe later on, they have those eight picks, in the last day.
Eight.
You know, with five of which come in the seventh round. Are there any late round gems at tackle? And I think we'll move on to guard and center after this and just kind of do those generally. But tackles are where you can take any round. I think that guards and centers are generally, unless they're really special, generally those guys get taken a little bit later. So let's round out the tackles first.
Well, I'd say two guys. Sam Young, his stock has fallen, but kind
Matt
of the
Light
same
protege.
Thing. 50 starts at Notre Dame. He likes Matt Light, the Charlie Weiss system. I wasn't in love with him. Struggled a little bit at the Senior Bowl. I don't think he's an elite talent. I think he's a career backup type. But if you want to develop him, a guy I did like, Tennessee's Chris Scott.
Yep, me too.
I thought was very impressive. Not a great 40 time, a 5'5 type 40. But 6'5", 320, can play a little guard, can play both tackle spots, right and left side. And I thought he played with an edge, just finishes blocks. Another guy I would be willing to invest a kind of developmental pick in.
Mm, yeah, I agree with that as well. I'll just throw another name out there for the fun of it. I liked
Ed Wang. Oh, you said for the fun of it. I thought you were going with Wang.
Jeff Lickenbach.
Yeah, he actually wasn't bad. Wasn't a bad prospect. Another right tackle type, Zane Beatles out of Utah. Looked like he was an efficient player. Again, more of a right tackle than a left, but there might be a need for that. We might have already drafted our left tackle of the future with Vollmer last year, so we might need to start looking ahead for the future at right. So
we re-signed our right tackle of the past.
And I guess we should probably bring up Dukas.
Vladimir.
Vlad.
Just as the local guy with a story, you know, the Haitian roots and whatnot, you guys, I think, met him, right?
He was at the combine, spoke a little bit.
You know, just as the local guy, what were your overall impressions? I know he's a
solid
second,
third.
The hype was kind of getting him up higher, and then it kind of came back down. I think what he did is, as a small school guy, you know, he has to prove himself, kind of thing. He went to the Senior Bowl and proved himself, showed that he was a pretty good player, and I think that's where his stock kind of skyrocketed, because now he's this unpolished gem that if we can get NFL coaching, a little more experience.
Well, yeah.
Now I think he's coming back down to reality.
I think that's a good word, unpolished, because one of the notes I wrote down about him watching his film was that he doesn't always seem to use his size to his advantage.
Right.
Which
especially
I think,
at that level is.
Yeah, you should be overpowering guys at that
6'5", 332.
Yeah, you should be wondering about techniques at that level, because he should be overpowering the players he's going against.
Yeah.
But he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on. I think some people think he could be a guard in the NFL or a tackle. There's some questions there.
But especially on a team like this one, where they have an offensive line coach who's known for developing talent, you know, guys who've not even played football to guys who are on the practice squad.
Probably the position that they've done the best at that, taking guys fourth round, fifth round, seventh round,
undrafted free agents, yeah,
guys with no football backgrounds at all. Dante turns them into players. And generally, if the young offensive linemen don't stick around for more than a year, then there really was not a whole lot of potential there, because they have invested 2 and 3 years with guys before they ever even see the field and then gotten productive play out of them. Mm-hmm. So for that, the coaching staff here, Dante in particular, should be commended. And we should also mention a couple of those late gem, you know, kind of underrated hidden guys that you guys mentioned. NFL Draft Scout had one that you mentioned, the kid Scott, as a guard.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Zane Beatles also as a guard. So some other guys, there's always going to be guard, you know, as Bill likes to say, and I always like to throw out there, you know, you can always find guards. Guards and centers, you guys were in love with a center and a guard, right? At the very top.
Oh, Mike Iupati.
You're in love with Iupati.
Tremendous.
And you're also in love
the
with the center, right, from Florida, the funny name.
Yes, very good player.
Marcus Pouncey.
I don't know about here, but he's going to be a very good player. He's probably going to be a first-round pick. Probably could start at either center or guard as a rookie. Very impressive. But Iupati, I agree with Eric, is probably the best offensive lineman in the draft. Some people think he could be a tackle. Some people think he's going to play some defense. He was in their goal line defense at Idaho.
Wait, we're not talking about Tim Tebow.
No, we're talking about Iupati, who I actually think can fill the roles people are projecting him for. Okay. Not like Tebow, who they think he's a quarterback and he isn't. Mike Iupati.
I did my job. I got him talking fast.
Yeah. He could be a Patriot. You're going to laugh here, but he says he thinks his greatest strength defensive line, two-gapping. So he could be a Patriot. He could be – maybe he's your defensive end. Maybe he's your Richard Seymour
Philly.
And
if he slides
6'5", 331.
If he slides
to – how you dial it up.
If he slides to 22, that might
– if they take him, it may say L next to his name, lineman. And people will say, lineman, what is that? Is that offense?
Right.
Is that defense? What's he going to do?
And that'll be another one that said, Belichick did it again.
Yeah, no, he didn't, because he talked about it at the combine. Everybody's talking about it. I mean,
okay.
Most likely he's going to get drafted as a guard, play as a guard somewhere, have a nice 10-year career. I'm rooting for him to go to Pittsburgh to lead the way for Mendenhall because they need help on the offensive line. He's in that range.
Really have this infatuation with Pittsburgh that needs to be addressed at
Mendenhall.
Some point.
Well, I want Mendenhall to be ridiculous. I laid it out there.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
It would be funny, though, if Iupati ended up on the Patriots and then he was given the generic position of lineman on a team that just enjoys putting generic positions coach.
I told you they're going to start just doing offense and defense.
Well, with him, you wouldn't be able to tell.
They're going
to
get that specific?
And some guys, they're just going to put P, player.
Player?
He is an active player.
Player and coach.
If we had to play a game today, we could play with him as one of our players.
Another guy to keep an eye on as a potential Patriot, Mike Johnson out of Alabama. Tackle and guard, comes from Alabama, so obviously the pipeline, Nick Saban connection. I thought he was very impressive on tape. Another guy who started for a long time, 41 starts. I'm a big believer in that, an offensive lineman. I like guys that started for a long time. I'm not a big fan of these guys that, you know, couldn't unseat so-and-so at left tackle, but we project him there.
Yeah.
Well, if he was so good, then he should have been there. One of them's better than the other, and if he's that great, if he's an NFL left tackle, then he's a college left tackle.
I liked another guy from the SEC, Mitch Petras of Arkansas.
Sure.
Thought he was he was one of those guys that played with an attitude, very aggressive, good versus the run and the pass as a blocker.
And? You don't remember.
I don't remember.
45 reps at the combine, tied the
record. Oh, that's right.
225.
That's right. That's right.
He's also a former fullback and tight end, very versatile player.
He tied your record at the combine?
The record.
Your record.
Mike
you did.
Kudla. Tells you how worthy that record is. Where's Mike Kudla now? I'm more in the NFL than he is.
All right, so any other interior linemen, maybe hidden gem types?
Overall, I just want to say I thought the guard position was a lot stronger than the tackle position in this draft.
Which is odd.
Sure, that's plausible.
Which is odd.
It's odd.
I'm also
a
little concerned about how often you two are agreeing on players, which that doesn't.
You don't like that?
Well, first of all, it doesn't make for a good podcast. But second of all, it's
well,
not
you
generally.
You can pop in the what was it? The running back one where we couldn't disagree.
Yeah,
much
we
more.
Yeah we agree. We disagreed on a lot in that one. So
I missed that one, right?
No, I think you were here.
Oh wait a minute. Yeah. You guys were arguing. There was one guy that you really liked, and he's like, you can't play.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm right. Moving on to center,
as is often the case.
Pouncey is interesting because he's an underclass center, which is a rarity, Doesn't happen. When they do, they're generally drafted high in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
He has the twin brother who played either left or right guard right next to him mm-hmm. at Florida. So that makes him interesting. 40 starts, which I've said a number of times already. I like guys who start a lot in college. That's a prerequisite for me. Having played in college is good.
Especially good colleges.
Especially good colleges. So I think he's going to come in and he's going to be that Nick Mangold or one of those guys that comes in, wins a starting job somewhere, plays, and is your all-rookie guard or center. I would be stunned if he doesn't fill that role out mm-hmm. if he's healthy.
And Eric Olson, obviously just because of the Notre Dame-Charlie Weiss connection, already has a step ahead of maybe some other players mm-hmm. who could
good.
Be Patriots. And,
good
and,
player.
And, yeah, he
nasty,
was good.
Borderline dirty.
BC yeah. kid, too, right?
I like,
Tennant. Center?
Tennant.
Matt Tennant.
Didn't see any video of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, we didn't get to the video.
And a little lighter than, you know, one of those undersized centers. Yeah. Copenhagen.
I only bring it yeah. up because BC, that's the one area that they crank out NFL
they
players.
Do. They are, they are a lineman pipeline.
Offensive line.
So there you go.
What's our position on tap for next week, boys?
Linebacker.
Linebacker. Inside, outside, or all?
All.
All of them.
I don't know if you know, Paul. We're
running out of
knocking,
time here.
Knocking, 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 week by week
I
towards the
that.
Draft here.
I mentioned that.
It is April tomorrow.
April is upon us, and my inspection sticker has
time
a few
to renew?
Hours left to
Oh,
to
no,
expire.
You don't do it today. You wait till tomorrow. You gain a month every time.
That is true. It's going to be unintentional, but it's probably going to happen yet again to me. Anyway, we will be back
right
next Wednesday to do the linebackers.
Perhaps the most intriguing position for Patriots fans, especially on the outside.
Lot of intrigue. Yep. A lot of intrigue. Got a lot of emails and a lot of intrigue.
We do.
Got a lot of hybrid guys. So we're going to talk about them a little bit next week on the
really
roster report. What's the roster thing called? Prospect
Review.
Where we
preview.
And until then, Andy,
peace out.
So
thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.